Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So all the people, Bart, that I saw at the Garden yesterday, and I ran into a ton of people who say how much they love our show and they listen to the show, and a bunch of people yelling power hour at me, which is always awesome. Million pictures I took. Here's the thing. I told everybody that I happened to be where MSG had me do the pregame hit. I did a stand-up in what's called the Chase Square, which is essentially the box office, right? The front lobby of the building. And so everybody's walking through. So people stopped and, hey, can we take a picture? Yeah, sure. And I took a ton of pictures. And I was glad to do it. It was fun. And I kept saying the same thing over and over again. Tag me. Tag me in the picture. Tag me. Because, people like to post pictures.
Yeah.
I didn't get any. Nobody tagged me.
Not even a show?
Nothing.
Oh,
so all these pictures taken, I have none of them that I could look back and see all these different people I got to take pictures with.
Well, the good thing is we have a social media guy, and he probably has it all on his camera, and he has to take it from a digital camera and transfer it over and upload it, and it'll be there in a couple of days.
No. I do have a nice picture of myself and Ed Cohen sitting at in the radio booth calling the game last night. One of the greatest experiences of my professional life was sitting in Madison Square Garden on the call for a playoff game and a Knick win, and in a building that it was so loud. I took my headset off a couple of times because I wanted, when you have your headset on, it's an artificial sound.
Yeah,
take the headset off and really feel the building. Yeah. And I did that a couple of times during the game because it just was, man, it was that kind of night. The stars were out. There were just every star you could imagine was in the building last night.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers back again.
He got a residency there, and what he does, he's taking different teammates on speed dates because at this point they can't really get a seat there without him. It's Aaron Rodgers plus one. That's what it is.
So now he
goes defense. So now he goes defense. Right, we got Salah in the building. You know what I'm saying? When we gonna get Dayball in the building?
Dayball's been there.
No, but there's a lot of Jets
there last night.
I'm saying this year.
So you had Salah. You had Rodgers. Sauce was there, and then up in the suite at halftime, I went in to see Greeny, and Peter Rosenberg was there with his lovely fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn around and I just there's this gigantic human being.
All the lights, but you're a gigantic guy. Remember, Greeny said Alan Hahn is a really big man.
Yes, he did say that. In fact, the exact quote I have it here is this:
Alan Hahn is a big dude.
Love that. So. It ends up, it's Mekhi Becton.
Yeah.
And so, they could have
used him for a couple of rebounds, man. Put that big
body on. I said
that
to him. Can you get out there? I told him, can you get out there and get me six fouls? Because we got to knock some of these people around. The Heat were playing physical. So anyway. Great guy. I got to talk to him. Told him about, how much, he first said, I told him, we got to get you on the show. He's like, anytime you want. He's like, let me know. I'd love to come on. And I found him to be a delightful human being.
Yeah.
And he looks great.
He is.
Does look physical. I mean, he's a monster of a human.
Yeah.
But he looks like
him in shape is 335. Him in shape is 335. Him out of shape
really
is 400.
Good.
You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is. He's basically 6'7", right? So it's not hard to get to 400 at 6'7". Because you're 6'6", right?
Yeah.
And he's tall. He was taller than you. And I take a couple inches off for the afro he got. He got a little Frederick Douglass going on, man. But I tell you what, the Knicks could have used him, man. I tell you what, man. I'm still a little bit concerned. I know
Why?
You feel like it's fine.
Why?
I just think that Miami's offense is too easy. They're getting everything they want. Now I know it's a make or miss league, but they have the Knicks scrambling, and the Knicks had to work so hard to get it. Thank God for Hart and Hartenstein at the end getting those extra possessions. because I just feel like Bam can kind of get what he wants. He can get in the lane and create off of it. Lowry's getting what he wants.
Did he even play last? I couldn't.
Thank God he didn't show up. But that game should not have been that close without Jimmy buckets.
They took 49 three-pointers.
I know. And
for a while they were making them at a very high clip, and that was alarming.
And I was just so happy that their legs got tired and those shots can't start falling short in the fourth quarter. But we can't depend on that, man, because they're going to be coming off 3 days rest, so maybe those legs are a little fresher.
Here's what you need to know is, first and foremost, just like the Bucks learned, that the fact that the Heat were the third worst three-point shooting team in the regular season means nothing in the postseason. Because it's ridiculous how a team that was considered an awful three-point shooting team
is lights
out in the post. Like, again, ask the Bucks. 43% they shot against the Milwaukee Bucks, which was a top three three-point defense team. The Bucks were one of the best three-point defense teams in the NBA, and they shot 45% against them. And against the Knicks, it's more of the same. They had to play that way. And I'll tell you what, like, honestly.
Tim's got to finish this defense. He got to figure this offense out. It's like this perpetual motion. It looks fluid. The ball is moving all over the place.
They played a wide-open D'Antoni system last night, which is essentially that's what it's about.
Is that a switch-up? Because I don't know. Because it seemed like it was a different offense from the first one.
Of course it is.
I feel like Spoelstra
is a madman.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. I feel like he's something new.
He's throwing all kinds of stuff at them in different looks.
By the way,
Bart, it's possession to possession.
Yes, that's what
I'm
saying.
We're not talking about we're going to do this for a couple minutes. Yeah,
Tibbs is not JB
Bicker stuff.
Because then they switch it up like at the halftime, and it's like third quarter, and Nick's like, whoa, what's this? This dude, I'm like, He's like MacGyver, man. He's like Rain Man.
He's creating
game plans within the game. He's like Peyton Manning, man. This dude got a game plan for every quarter.
He has to, because when you look at who he's playing, undrafted guys. Like, you can relate to this. This is you.
Vincent,
the Heat are essentially made up of guys like you.
Undrafted, but
don't sleep on them.
Yeah, wasn't Vincent a 10-day contract or something like that? He's making like a $200,000. Come on, man.
He's very confident player.
Now,
look, here's my take from the game. Is that what happened in this game was essentially Heat culture. And what Spoelstra knew without Jimmy Butler is what his team had to do. Was essentially show up and fight the Knicks and see if the Knicks were tough enough to handle it. Their defense was flying around, but it also, like, they were playing extra hard. Effort plays, hustle plays. That first half was those guys out-hustling the Knicks.
Yeah, thank God they got to everything.
Deflections, knock it out of your hand. You think you have the rebound. I'm just going to annoy you by just punching it out of bounds. Like, all the things that can frustrate you as a team. The Heat did. And that's, again, a sign of a great coach who had his team ready to play, unlike the Celtics the night before against the Sixers. All right? This is – when we talk about coaching, that's what we talk about. Is your team ready, regardless of who's available to play? No stars, no problem. We're still going to outwork you. That's the Heat. And what happened is they tested the Knicks. He basically said, let's see if this team can handle it.
For four quarters, man.
And for about 2.5 quarters, the Knicks looked like they couldn't handle it. But then all of a sudden it started to turn. And this had to happen. Bar, you've lived through this. You know how this works. You play in the AFC North.
Yeah.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
The Miami Heat essentially showed the Knicks just how hard you're going to have to play to win this series.
Yeah. Four quarters isn't like.
Yeah, you're not out talent. This is not the Cavs. You're not out talenting us. You're going to have to outwork us. And I'll tell you what, this is when you tip the cap to Miami. You say, you know what you just did? You just showed us how hard we got to go. That we know that you're going to just karate chop us left and right as we drive to the basket because they can't call everything. Pat Riley school. They can't call everything.
So the
Knicks were avoiding that contact for a while. This was, once again, a running back that didn't want to hit the hole. You know, and you get in your parlance, this is a running back that's like, no, that linebacker's hiding back there, and he's going to clean. They're going to hit me twice. I don't want to get hit. But you got to get hit to win. And so the hesitation to get into the paint early in the game, the hesitation by Brunson a lot in this game to go into the paint because he kept seeing bodies that had to go away. And it started to go away. The only guy that was going into the paint and not worried about it was R.J. Barrett early in the game. He didn't care. Go ahead, come and hit me. Because he let him know, I'm a dog too. You can hit me all you want. I'm going to keep coming. But Brunson had to start understanding, and so did Julius Randle, that I'm going to have to take these hits. What do we say at the start of our show? And keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. And that's what it took. And in the fourth quarter, Isaiah Hartenstein mopping up the floor with his jersey. Literally, he was all over the place because of the hustle plays.
We needed that energy, bro.
Yes. Josh Hart just had to be everywhere. Had to be everywhere. And then Jalen Brunson finally started getting into his one-on-one bag, and he took guys into the paint. I'm on you. You're on my hip. I know you're going to hit me in the rib. I don't care. I know you're going to kick me. I don't care. I'm finishing. And once the Knicks started to do that, you saw them raise their collective level. And then all it took then was to put the heat away. And Miami got tired, like you said. Because it's hard to play that way, Bart. Hard to play that way. And that's the formula why the Knicks won the game, is because they endured the fight. They showed a level of toughness. And now what I want to see is that level I saw in the fourth quarter, the hustle, the toughness, the mindset, that better be there in game three and the rest of the series. That's how you'll win this series.
Bro, this is not going to be
nobody said it was going to be easy.
You know how
it's
like,
Miami. It's never easy.
You know how, like, you know, from football standpoint, how when you play the Patriots, no matter how many you up on them, it's always going to be that push, and you got to be mentally tough to kind of hold them off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you up, you got to hold them off. If you behind, you got to do something to make them mess up.
Right.
Miami ain't going to beat themselves. They're not going to beat themselves. That's apparent, man. They are not going to beat themselves, man. They're well coached, but they got so much grit, man. They got so much freaking grit. I got to tip my cap to them and what they stand for.
I'm telling you right now, great respect. Look, Knicks Heat have always been about fights, brawls, and stuff. This is not that. This is a fight, but not like 97, not like 98. We're not talking about literal fights. But this is going to be for the Knicks.
Test the wills, man.
Yes. This is going to be.
How bad do you really want it? How bad do you really want this?
This is how you win in the playoffs, boys. Are you willing to do this three more times to win this series? Here's Tom Thibodeau on the hard-fought Game 2 win.
It was a hard-fought game. We knew with the way the game unfolded at the beginning, we'd see a lot of zone, a lot of threes. And then I thought in the second half, we competed really well. And so we had a lot of hustle plays. I thought Julius gutted it out, played tough. I thought Jalen was fantastic. RJ, a big, big start to the game for us. So we had a number of guys step up and get it done.
Now I'll make one more point here, Barton. We got calls to get to, 800-919-3776. The last point I'm going to make is this. You're going to hear a lot of people, you probably already have today, with the takes of, if the Knicks had to work this hard to beat the Heat without Jimmy Butler, they're not winning this series. And I'm telling you, this has nothing to do with Jimmy Butler. They out-rebounded this team by 16. They were able to make their threes finally later in the game. They were not making them early.
Yes,
the Knicks had to find their game against the Heat in this series. It took them. The first half of game one was too easy. The second half of game one and the first half of game two were, okay, here's Miami throwing their haymakers. Are you willing to go toe-to-toe with a team like this that's going to literally scratch and claw on every possession? Or do you have that makeup to do that? And there are some Knicks players that still don't and showed us that in this game.
But the
ones on the floor to end that game showed us they do. And that's what it's going to take. So Jimmy Butler or no Jimmy Butler, this series was about the Knicks finding that level they needed to get to physically to win this series.
Yeah, I mean, quickly, man. Quickly has to be better, man. We need better minutes out of quickly. These transition threes, he's just throwing up. He hit one late in the game, but we need him to be activated, man. Like the same way we called out R.J. Barrett about four games ago, it's time to call out quickly. Like you said, when you're a sixth man in a year candidate, and a legitimate candidate, they ain't just throw you on the list just so they can fill out the ballots.
Right.
You got to show up. Where you at? We need you.
Yeah, it's important for him. Obi Toppin did not have much of an impact on this game either. He only played 10 minutes, of course, because Julius Randle did return. Let's point that out as well. He returned, and he's on a bad – look, he's on a bad ankle, everybody. He is. He's not going to say it, but he is. He gave you 25, 12, and 8 on a bad ankle. You know, like, and he's guarded by Bam Adebayo, by the way. It's not like you know, you could say Jimmy Butler's not in the game. Bam Adebayo was, and he's a good defender. And, and Julius Randle still got you 25, 12, and 8
on
a bad ankle.
Yeah. He was the difference with the three-point shooting. You know, those two sidestep threes were clutch, man.
Yep.
Just keeping them within striking distance. It felt for so long the Knicks couldn't get them under 8. It was just every time they would have a little push and they would have some bad possessions and Miami get everything they want, whether it was penetrating. Caleb Martin, you know, hurting his back later in the game.
Oh, Strus. You're talking about Strus, because you're right. Strus had it going in the third quarter, and then he hurt his – he had a back contusion
back,
or whatever it was. He leaves the court. And that was huge because he had had it going for a while there. But that's the battle of attrition that is a playoff series. I mean, that's certainly what it's all about.
Let's see them knees. Let's see them Kyle Lowry knees. Nah, let's go ahead and lean on them knees. Let's run his little fat butt.
Lowry looked like he got tired late in that game as well. Look, this is going to be a slugfest. We knew it from the start. It's what we talked about. They got 3 days now to catch their breath. Everybody needs these 3 days off. And the expectation is that Butler will return for Game 5. But it doesn't mean he's going to be 100%, but he is going to return for Game 3 in a couple of days. So Game 3 is Saturday afternoon. It's in Miami. I call it MSG South because half the building are all Knicks fans anyway. It's only going to make this series even more crazy just because of that kind of crowd. It was rowdy at the Garden. There were all the stars there. But even more so when you go to Miami and it's this mix of 50-50 fans and they're going at each other. So this series is going to be, man, a lot of fun. 800-919-3776. All right, Bart, let's get to the calls. Let's talk to the people because so many people want to talk about this game from last night. Let's begin with Scott in Manhattan. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, what's up, guys? Listen, gut check. We needed that to keep us on an even keel. And my three positives I'm taking out of this. Our top three played well, you know. Again, I said it was a gut check, something that we needed, you know, because, you know, it's going to be a tough series. And my third point is that Brunson played well, you know, in his fourth quarter showcase when we needed him. He got his game back. So I'm comfortable. Like I said, even Jimmy Buckets come back, you know, it's still going to be tough, but we expect it to be that. But we need that going forward. So I'm good.
This is how you win in the playoffs, Scott. You know, it's not going to be easy. These are not cakewalks. These are hard-fought games. And that's... You know, the warm-up was the Cavs, but that's not – even that series, you're like, it's playoffs, but that ain't real playoffs. Look at last night. Look at Lakers-Warriors. Mm-hmm. But look at that game, man. Like, that, they were going at it, man. That felt like a finals game, that game.
Yeah, when Steph was coming back shot for shot, but this is the thing. You know Anthony Davis won't be consistent. He'll give you that, and then he'll lay an egg.
You know, he had a 30-20 performance. I mean, can you imagine? He's not going to average that for a series, but
I'm
you just
not
saw
going way.
By the way, he got 23 rebounds. He gave up 20 rebounds. Kevon Looney got 20 rebounds. Like I said, these are not easy games. You get this far. You go to second round, and especially conference finals, like these games are tough. Kev on the island. Kev.
Yeah, what's good, fellas? Listen, I don't want to even get into a back-and-forth argument about whether Jimmy Butler would have been made a difference in the game. I believe he would have, but we'll differ on that. My question is going to be in reference to the adjustments on the offense. I have an issue, and I've had an issue for a few years with Thibodeau's offense. And I looked at it last night, and I'm saying to myself, why is it that the Heat are always having us chase? We're chasing, while the Heat's defense, their back is to their basket, and it is following with their eyes and their bodies back and forth. Why are we not making some kind of an offensive adjustment? And you guys hit it right on the head. That coaching, man, Spoelstra is a beast. And you have to answer this. Who you think is the better? Who's going to out-coach whom? And I have a funny feeling, and I hope this is not the case, that Spoelstra is going to end up getting Thibodeau if Thibodeau does not make an adjustment.
Well, Spoelstra is, I think, the more sophisticated coach with what he has. I think the Knicks have the better, deeper team. Spo has the deeper team. So I think that's what gives me hope that it can balance out, because just the pure depth, and you can't depend on – now, if they had Tyler Hero, I would still be even – because that's even more three-point shooting. Yeah. Yes. So, but that's not the case. And the Knicks got to take advantage of that. And we'll worry about how we build it to beat the Heat next year with whatever they do. But right now, you have an opportunity because you have the better team, the more healthy team, the deeper team. But, you know, Spo is on another level, man. You see it.
Yeah, he's a mad scientist.
He never gets – like, he got the same damn look all the time. Let me see your happy face. Just here's a happy face. Let me see your sad face. It's the same face.
He doesn't get rattled either. But I'll answer the one thing, though, about them flying around and defensively they sit back. The Knicks have to chase. Why? Because the Heat are making their threes. The Knicks were not making their threes. The Heat are sitting in a zone, everybody. To look at it and think, why are the Heat making it look so easy on defense? Is because they're sitting in a zone giving up open threes. The Knicks still missed a ton of open threes last night. That's how that problem has not been solved yet. And Spo is saying, I will live with this. I am going to gamble that they aren't going to make their open threes, because that's not how they're built. They are just not doing it in the playoffs, and I'm going to gamble and give them those open threes and think it's the playoffs. They got some young guys that are going to be nervous, and they're going to miss some shots. I mean, Obi Toppin airballed two open threes. Two.
Yeah, he did.
You know, like, they're going to gamble on stuff like that. So that's why it looks like they're just sitting there, and the Knicks are running around. The Knicks have to chase, because this team was taking tons of threes, and early in the game, they were making them. And you got to run them off the line. You can't sit in a zone like the Heat did, because they will bury you with those threes. That's a reality of these two teams and how they're built. But if what you saw in that fourth quarter holds true, the Heat can't sit in that zone for long because they made their shots there. All right, let's go to Baritone in Queens. Baritone.
Guys, what's going on? Oh, man, I'm so happy. Is it me or Aaron Rodgers joined a dating website? Because he's with the clean shave. He's at the Garden, seeing all the celebrities.
Yeah, man.
I don't know.
He falling in line, baby. He's like, yo, I like this.
Change the hookup. No more Con Air.
Yeah, he ain't going to Pong. He ain't going to Pong and Dave and Buster's in Wisconsin no more. You know what I'm saying? He has some legitimate grown man stuff. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, man, people still hanging around for the Met Gala. I got to step my game up, baby.
You know, they don't let you into rails looking like that, man. You got to clean it up a little bit, you know?
They're like Carbones. Yeah, man. If you ain't Drake, you ain't getting in without like that, son.
No doubt.
But, it was good watching, you know, seeing Melo be happy. Cheering like he was part of the team, and
how about this is what I don't understand.
Melo was like, I've never seen him so giddy. Like he had his son there. Kyan was there, and he's hugging him. Amari sitting next to him. That was nice to see as well. But I mean, Melo cheering, jumping up, high fiving guys. Like,
and what I'm saying
is so cool to see.
This is what I don't understand. If Tristan Thompson got signed late, why can't we sign Melo? Why can't we sign Melo? For 10.
Exactly.
If Tristan Thompson got signed off,
you think Melo would love to play in that game last night?
Hell
he would love
yeah!
A game like that,
Melo good for 12.
He loves those.
He's
games.
Good for 12, son.
Hey, look, I was all for that.
Sign Melo.
I was all for adding Melo.
Sign him for the next series.
Late in the season, as like a late season vet to put on the roster, but you'd have to cut somebody.
Hey,
but
you send somebody back down to the D-League.
I had no problem with that. I had no problem with that. But
and watching Tristan Thompson on the sideline.
Good to see him in the game, though, in the building. That was nice.
Yeah.
By the way, did you also see Jessica Alba?
Yeah, yeah.
Yo.
Yeah. You know, I always, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, you ain't getting me in trouble. No, I ain't see nothing.
No.
I ain't see nothing. Nah. I'm like Jangling. I ain't see nothing. I ain't doing nothing. Jangling, stop putting him on the tent.
The camera caught a moment that went viral. It's just one of those very subtle moments that you just like. Like they were going through all the different people. Ed Cohen on the call last night was mentioning all the different celebrities at the game.
Yeah.
And then I had to stop. I said, you're not going to mention Jessica Alba. Like, you really? Like, we're going to go through this whole litany of people, and you're not going to say Jessica Alba's name?
I'm a Selma Hayek type of dude.
Well, I am too, but I'm just
Selma
saying.
Selma Hayek, you know, on a whole nother level.
Jessica Alba has, you know, has aged very well.
I might sell my soul for Hayek. What's that movie she did, like Dust Till Dawn or something like that?
Oh, my goodness. In Dust Till Dawn, she was unbelievable.
Yeah. I'd say, you know what? God, I'd rather just live on heaven here with her. You can put me in hell for the rest of my life.
But remember,
eternity.
She wasn't human in Dust Till Dawn.
she ain't human now. She got some ultra, she got some alien DNA on that thing. Never mind. Let me stop before I get canceled.
She was, what was she like? Well, she was just a dancer, right? That's what
yeah,
she was.
Yeah,
but she, that she did have a scene in that movie. If you haven't seen From Dusk Till Dawn,
yeah,
trust me.
Case closed.
You need to see it. Freddie in Brooklyn. Freddie.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
What's up, man?
Well, first, I'd like to compliment you on your excellent commentary last night.
Thank you.
You did a great job. And I especially like the take that you made when you said that Chris Rock and Tracy Morgan and somebody else was taking a
Dave
photo.
Chappelle.
But there was nothing funny about the Knicks being down by six or whatever
yes.
at that time.
Yeah, I had a few lines. That was a
Alan dropping gems, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
dropping
the three
gems.
Of them were together, and I said, there's three funny guys, but nothing funny about the threes. At the,
yeah. Yeah, that was an excellent game. Now to the game itself. I think we took the best that the Heat had to offer, weathered the storm, so I think it's going to be a bit easier going forward. Also, we're still waiting for the Knicks bench to show up.
Yes.
And
preach.
There is nothing,
preach, Freddie.
There is not. Right, there is nothing different that Miami could do going forward that we haven't seen now. And there is no other player on the Knicks, on the Heat, that you could say is lacking, that they're waiting to produce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing is Jimmy Butler's absence, which again, you're talking about Jimmy Butler's absence in game two. What about Julius Randle's absence in game one? Nobody wants to talk about that. So
it
balances out. But you're right, the Knicks bench got outscored by 10. 22 to 12. And once again, as you look at the missing persons, Quentin Grimes is, you know, coming off the bench now for Josh Hart, and Grimes is still trying to figure it out. Mayo quickly, though, 0 for 4 from 3. Just, I just, what are you getting from him right now offensively? And Obi Toppin barely played, mainly because Julius Randle was back and they just needed to play him a ton. The one guy off the bench that I have to say brought it. And I mean, really made an impact on this game was Isaiah Hartenstein.
You rang.
He was, yeah, it does look like Lurch. I can't show you the box score and say, see, look what he did. I can't, because you don't see it in the box score. You have to watch that game, especially when Mitchell Robinson went to the bench when he got his fourth foul. And Hartenstein came in, and he just was all over the floor. And they needed that. And that's, again, that sort of everyone else sort of picked up from that. So his impact on the game was something you had to see rather than look in a box score to quantify.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, man, his extra possessions, tapping the ball,
yep.
taking one in the head like Roger Dorn on the rebounds, you know what I'm saying? he was doing it all, man. And better yet, it was the energy. Him and Hart just gave them extra possessions and gave them energy and gave the ball energy. And eventually that good energy started putting the ball through the hoop for those second possessions. And then it also getting them in foul trouble as well.
Yeah, well, that was another story, the fouls. It's funny how after game one, Knicks fans were crying foul. After game two, Heat fans are complaining about the officiating. Never happy. Usually when both sides are complaining, you're doing something right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So, yeah, I mean, everybody was at the Garden last night. And Aaron Rodgers back again, as Bart said so perfectly. It's like he has a residency now. He and Billy Joel. How many like, will he put a banner up now next to Billy right. Joel's? Aaron Rodgers put a big three.
I wonder if he shows up today.
Like, he goes to everything now. Like, he's more than welcome. He has got the key to the city. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, he's sitting there with, who was he with? He was with Alan Lazard, right, for the Ranger game.
Rangers and Knicks first
and,
game.
And then he was with Sauce Gardner at this game. And Garrett Wilson today was wondering, when is it his turn?
I just asked him this morning. I said, I was trying to figure out why I couldn't get no tickets to the Knicks game yesterday. And I was watching the ESPN broadcast. I see him and Sauce and all it, they're their group taking up all the seats, you know. So I got to figure out how I can get in with them and bum a seat, you know, bum that fifth seat and see if it can. So honestly, I don't know, man. I really don't know. You know, I'm a homebody. I don't reach out much. I don't text much. But, you know, I would love to tag along on one of them little trips to the city there, man. Going on.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out soon.
It sounds like having fun.
Sounds like his feelings are hurt a little bit. He's like, they're all enjoying. He's like, yo, it's a little pain in there. It's a little reality. Like, I don't go out much. I'm a homebody, but if you call me, I'll get up and go.
Should I text his dad? I got to know his dad.
Text his dad. Say you got him.
I got him.
I don't know. Tell him you can get him sweet tickets. You can't guarantee.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I get him courtside next to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. He's like, nah, man. I ain't come all the way here to be eating no chicken fingers and hot dogs up in the suite, man. I need to get some sweat on me.
Dawn's gonna need to upgrade the menu in the suite if Garrett Wilson's coming. I mean, Big Ticket was there. I mean, Becton was there last night.
But it's the thing. When you're a big dude like Becton, you don't want to see nobody seeing you eat because they're going to make fun of it. No matter, you be eating a piece of lettuce, and they be like, oh, big man, look at big man, tear that salad up.
Oh, I saw him in the suite. Yeah, he was eating chicken fingers. Yeah, oh, something like that. Oh, somebody will take a picture of him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man, that's wrong.
It'd be the one cupcake that he eat. Oh, man, big man was in there putting it down, son. No wonder he can't get on it. He eating crazy. You know, my boy Spice Adams did that. You know what I mean? He's talking about how, like, because he always been a big dude.
Right.
And he's talking about how, like, every time he eats, how he feels everybody, like, looking at him eat and how slow he eating and how much of the chicken he take off the chicken bone with one bite. And like, he's like, man, I can't even eat, man. He went in the closet and ate. Eat in peace.
It is so unfair. But I love the fact that it's just become the thing. And there is something kind of cool happening around Rodgers, right? I mean, you got to see it.
He's like the old wily guy. And everybody, it's like the same thing with Tom Brady.
He's embracing it, though. What did he say on the K show? He's like, I don't need this. I want this.
Yeah.
Like that to me, that's something special.
And remember the breath of fresh air it was for Tom Brady to be somewhere where everybody looked up to him and everybody was receptive to listening to what he and learning from him. Mm-hmm. And we'll get in later, you know, what Barstra Domus predicted is coming true. We'll get into that later. Oh. You know, let's get some of these callers.
800-919-3776 is the number. Let's go into the car with Jack. What's up, Jack?
Hey, what's doing, boys?
How you doing?
Let's go freaking Knicks, baby. How much fun was that?
That game was fun. The finish was fun. Most of the game was a lot of anxiety, I got to admit.
Yeah, anxiety. And you kind of felt that in the Garden. I mean, I wasn't there, but I was, you know, obviously taking the temperature of the Garden from the TV. But, yeah, you felt it. Quick thing I wanted to mention, you know, when they're playing that zone, you gotta target that the middle of the floor there. And Hartenstein looked like he was doing a hell of a job getting the ball, putting up that floater, opening up the defense. Do you think that, you know, Mitchell Robinson could kind of do that also, or it's really Hartenstein's job there?
Yeah, Mitch is not great. He's not really a guy that handles the basketball. You don't want to give him the ball and have him start making decisions as a passer. It's not really his skill set, unfortunately. But that's what makes Hartenstein a good, like, kind of compliment to Mitch. Because while you don't lose in rebounding and defense – you still are. You add a little bit of offensive ability and good passing ability. So that's what I like about the two-headed monster they have at center.
Yeah, because Mitchell Robinson was a little bit, a couple times he got the ball really deep, and he could have just turned around and put a floater up.
Right.
But it's like he almost like Draymond and Looney. Like, yo, the basket is almost touching, the nets are almost touching the top of your head. Just turn around and lay it up, man. Why are you looking for a three-point shot?
Draymond Green last night didn't look at the basket a lot of times. Like, didn't even look at the basket so many times. And we'll get into that game as well. Let's continue calls. We got David East Meadow. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys. You guys are the best show on the radio, and I got to tell you, you guys in the MSG postgame, and you and Monica's a rising star, you guys are a home run. But couple points with last night's game. First, the coaching. I thought until the last 4 minutes of the game, Tibbs got out-coached. I mean, Miami was running four Steve Novaks out there at all times, and I was telling my friends, if it was my CYO basketball team, I would have said, if any of you leave your man to double team, you are out of the game.
Yes. Okay?
Even when Jimmy Buckets is back, let Jimmy and Bam get theirs. I think they shot 49 three-point shots. That's 49. Unacceptable. And it wasn't until the last 4 minutes when, like you guys just said, that's clutch time in the NBA, and Jimmy Buckets wasn't there for them. That's the only difference.
And sometimes you had two guys scrambling to the same guy, leaving the guy in the corner.
A lot of miscommunication.
Come
on. A lot of times, is it switch? Is it not switch? Then two guys go with the ball, and one guy there was so much confusion that was going on that you have to – I just kept looking at Spo, and I was just saying, this guy is a madman because – you know, Dave, I'm telling you, I called the game last night. He changed defenses. He also, like, the stuff they were on, there was a point in they were running Mike D'Antoni offense. I'm talking about, like, when you remember when D'Antoni was coaching the Knicks that first year, it was like Chris Duhon. Like, you had all these guys, David Lee and Chris Duhon running pick and roll. And David Lee would have, like, 40 points. Chris Duhon would have 20 assists. And you scratch your head, like, how the hell are they doing this? That system is so difficult to guard because there's no one in the paint offensively. No one. And you have to keep guys in front of you. They cut back door, slashing, moving. It's madness what he does.
Like three-man weaving.
And they were ready for it, and that's great coaching.
Yep. And also, you had actually touched on that in the postgame, but I thought it was a total team effort. I thought, like you said in the postgame, the Hart Foundation came through. And Isaiah Hartenstein, you guys just said it, he came up with so many plays.
Oh, yeah.
He had like a save of the ball under the basket a couple of times. He had one play where he tipped the ball off the Miami guy on the sideline. So many little things. He was all over the floor. You got to tip your hat to him. Yes. And Tibbs putting Grimes in for the last couple of minutes. Grimes is
instead
a ball mover. I wish he would put him back in the starting lineup, and because that's why we're losing the bench points battle. I want Hart back on the bench. Grimes is a ball mover. He's unselfish. He doesn't need the ball, and he goes better with the starters.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's going to eventually do that. You know, it's a good call there, Dave. Thanks for the call. It really is, because I was thinking the same thing. Does he do that just to get back to their rotation, and everybody knows their roles?
Everybody
that's how they played most of the season. But you don't want Josh Hart to think he's being demoted, obviously, because he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, but like, bro, we need them bench points, right? And we can get points because with Grimes out there, you know, the offense flows through Barrett a little bit. It flows through Brunson, and he's going to be the beneficiary of these open shots because you have to double Randle, and then you still have to respect Brunson's ability to get into the paint. So now this allows him pretty much to be P.J. Tucker or Bruce Brown, just spotting up, which is what he did at a high level because he had so many open shots where he didn't have to handle the basketball.
Yeah.
So I would move him back too.
Yeah, I'm curious. You got 3 days again to get everything right and just see, okay, who do I have available to me and how do we want to look when we go down there game three? Because as you know with these series, you look different from game to game. You don't show the same look game to game because you know everybody's trying to make those adjustments.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Last couple of weeks here with this show, we tend to go basketball in the beginning, and we'll get into football in the middle of the show, and then back into the hoop stuff a little bit later on. So we got some calls to get to, and we'll do that at 800-919-3776. We discuss things like the Yankees, who finally got a dub, but, you know, again, they got to be happy to be under the radar a little bit in New York right now.
Yeah. We're working. Listen, get stuff together before we start paying attention.
Exactly. Figure it out. Get healthy. Mets and your Tigres have a doubleheader going on today.
Man, can we have another consecutive? Like, has it ever been this many games rained out since Noah's Ark? And they were trying. They're trying to play shuffleboard for Jesus.
You know, right? You know that season when they built the Ark. You know, that was a rough one.
Yeah, man, they should have made it bigger.
They should have put a dome on it.
Indoor stadium. hey, Cohen's talking about putting a dome, a top on them. Would that make them the craziest place if they had a retractable dome on top of the stadium?
I would want to see how you would do it because I don't think it has
in
to
phases.
Be – it doesn't have to be closed.
Yeah, if you look
you just need a roof to keep the rain out.
Yeah, if you look at how but you want to let the sun in, man, because if it's a sunny day, you want
to
No,
that's not what I meant. You want it retractable, yes. Yeah. What I'm saying is it doesn't have to be, like, fully sealed.
Yes.
Because it still is okay for it to be cold out.
Some rain. Yeah, exactly. So
just don't soak the field is what I'm saying.
And it's pretty much like how Miami have the Hard Rock. Like, it's covered, but it's not. Yeah.
I didn't know that was open. So I know that, like, in Houston, I believe the roof could be on, but the sides could be open. Like, there are some stadiums that are like that. But it's almost like SoFi, right?
Yep.
Where the Rams play and the Chargers play.
Yeah.
Can't you do something like that?
Yeah, you can. You can do it where tracks. The craziest one is the one in the Mercedes-Benz joint in Atlanta, where like it unfolds like a little, like it's twisting and it opens up like one of those little things.
Oh, I love that. Georgia Dome?
Yeah.
That's Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, Mercedes-Benz. Yeah,
that place. Yeah, it's that almost looks like something out of like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, like where you twist it and it opens up like one of those old toys that you have and you twist and it opens up. It's dope.
Be interesting, man. I mean, how much would it really cost, right?
Yeah,
I believe about, the story. I believe as the story goes,
500 million. But
he said 800 million is, I believe, what the story said.
Yeah,
but
it's worth it.
There has to be a way
it's a tax write off. It's a tax write off. One, because you get to write off the 800 million because it's improving a business that you already have. But also, just think about the other venues that you can have in there. Now, you think about having WrestleMania there because it has a roof over it and it's outside and all the people. Well, it's not as big as a football stadium, but yeah.
But it's better. I think it's better.
Yeah.
Because WrestleMania at MetLife is you're too far away.
Yeah.
City Field, you're closer.
Yeah. It'll reverberate off the ceiling too. When you go, make the stadium even louder.
Keeps the sound.
Make it look better, man.
What about just getting a gigantic sail and we just kind of like stretch it and tie it to the top? Like little points around the stadium, and then when you don't want it, somebody goes up there and just pops it off. Like
yeah,
or they
put the
old, at the beach.
They put the old the dome, the inflatable dome over. They put the fabric over and they pressurize it.
Why not? Right, like they do tennis courts in the winter.
Exactly.
Just throw a bubble over.
Exactly.
Can we just get a bubble? Just throw it over. We make it sound so easy.
Can we get a May and April bubble?
Rich in Brooklyn, what's up, Rich? Hey, Rich.
Yo.
What's up, man?
Can you hear me?
We got you.
Hey, listen, man. I'm happy to be here again. I don't know if you guys remember me. I think you guys talked crazy about me last time, talking about I was Charlie Murphy with my Dallas Cowboys.
The last time you called, you did sound a little like Charlie Murphy.
But listen, man. I had to call in because I'm as crazy as it gets when it comes to like being a fan, and I love my Cowboys or whatever. Like I said before, funny thing is Jets are my number two, but I had to get to my Knicks. Listen, the playoffs in general, like it feels so much different than the current years past. It feels more like the night. It's like bang a ball.
There's an edge to it.
Yeah, it's an edge to it. It excites me, and I don't even have a problem with the Knicks, going through the ups and downs because that's what we're used to. As Knicks fans, if you really want to enjoy the experience, that's what it is. I would love to blow through Miami and just take it on home.
Sure.
But I don't know. It's just something about that back and forth, that hard nosed stuff. Man, nothing beats it, man. Nothing beats it. So I'm loving the playoffs right now. I just wanted to mention that. And as far as, Aaron Rodgers, bring one home for the Jets. That's all I can say. You want to hang out and all of that. Let's just see you, get on that field and make it happen for the Jets. But that's all I got to say, man.
I can't wait till we're talking about him and his performances, Rich. Thanks for the call, man. I that's what I'm looking for. It's great to see him out and about now and just being all about New York, but we're going to get to a time now where we're going to have Monday mornings, Bart, where we're going to be talking about him. Mark in Syosset. What's up, Mark?
Guys, thanks for having me on. Loving the win last night. Feeling really good about where we are. I think, hands down, Knicks are the better team in this series. I expect them to win. I think we're across the board more talented. I think we play great, the deeper team. But I do have one major concern, one thing that worries me. Would love your take on this. When I watched the Miami Heat, they have some of the smartest players in the NBA on the court. And I'm not just talking about Eric Spoelstra, who happens to be obviously hands down one of the best coaches, in recent years. guys like Jimmy Butler, guys like Kevin Love, I mean, these are basketball geniuses. I'll throw Kyle Lowry in there, too. We don't have players, with the exception of Brunson and Hart, who are really operating at a high level, right, IQ-wise. It sounds really rude, right? But certain guys, mainly Julius Randle,
it's nuanced.
They struggle with their decision-making. And I really get worried when he has the ball in his hands late in the game. You saw it last night. We're up 60 steps on the baseline.
Yeah, that was
little things like that.
Yeah, they
made
chance.
It out of the game last night, but I don't know if that happens again if we're in a tight series for the next 3-4 games with Miami.
If they would have tied the game, they would have had to go into overtime because he stepped over the line when it was
That game was over, right. And then that
and
happened,
came down to a
all of a sudden now it's
Duncan
like, wait.
Robinson comes down, blam.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Mark. I mean, that's how that goes. You know what else, too? And we can get into this a little bit later on the show as well, but I'm sure people are going to want to bring this up. The officiating in the game late was interesting. Now, it was a very physical game once again. There was a lot of hitting and contact that was being let go. But there were two things that happened that went the favor of the Knicks this time. The one was the corner three by Brunson as Adebayo ran through the Isaiah Hartenstein screen. And it was at the same time, simultaneous whistle and the three. And I thought, okay, you count the three and you get the free throw. But the referees got together and said, well, wait a minute. If the foul occurred before the shot, it's a foul and you take the three off the board. They had to review that and they decided that the three was underway before the arm came up on the official to blow the foul, which if you watch replays, that's what you see. So the Knicks get the benefit of keeping that three on the board. Here's another one. The Heat were down three, I think, about 3 minutes to go, fourth quarter. There was a three that they took that airballed. And it airballed, but the shot clock was almost at zero. He had to chuck it. Airball, but it goes right to a Heat player who put up a layup that would have made it a one-point game. But the officials waved off the basket, saying that it was a shot clock violation, basket. And the Heat said that
something.
Grazed the rim, and they didn't review it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you don't have to review it because I don't think it was the last 2 minutes. I think in the last 2 minutes is when you review. Because it was 3 minutes to go, there's no review. So, and you can't, he can't challenge it by rule. So it's interesting. Like that was another one that went their way.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll review it and they'll try and make a big deal out of it if that was the case.
Just because you can only review fouls that were called out of bounds or a goaltending or basket interference type stuff. You can't review like did it touch the rim or not. It's up to the officials to say we need to look at it, and the officials were pretty confident that it didn't touch the rim. And the Heat felt like it did, like barely grazed the rim, but still. So, you know, things that didn't go your way in game one, you're even now in game two. The series is even, and now we got a best of five, basically, that we're waiting for.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.